Okay, so welcome everyone to today's Horse Conscious Call. Delighted you could join us, and even more delighted that Jenny Pierce is up at 3 o'clock in the morning Sydney time, East Australia time, and is with us. So welcome, Jenny. You're a trooper.
Thanks, Mark. I'm an early riser, anyway.
Not quite this early
normally, but I am an early riser.
Just that as helped. Well. Okay, so it's a great topic that we've got today because it's kind of not something that we talk about too much on Horse Conscious. It just so happens, and I guess there's a lot of people who don't ride nowadays for fear of damaging their horses' backs, and that's probably for good reason. But what we're just about to learn is how you can avoid that. So where would you like to kick off with this conversation, Jenny?
About how we do damage our horses' backs, because that's the thing we want to avoid. If our horse is not in self-carriage, then they're not lifting their back up and they're not carrying us on the strength of that lifted back, on the strength of that curve, then we are hurting our horse's back. It's as simple as that. And I asked everybody to bring a ruler to the... That noise is the drawer sliding to get my ruler out. If you've got a ruler there right now, grab it, and I'll show you what I mean.
Let me get mine, Jenny. Hang on a second. You can probably hear me rustling in my drawer too. Okay, I've got it. I'm ready, miss.
Okay, hold the ends of the ruler in your hand and bend it so that the two ends are higher than in the middle, so that it's curved up like a smile. Now, that's the shape of a horse who's not in self-carriage. His back's hollowed, it's a bit saggy in the middle, and if you can hold the ends and kind of push, reach over and with one finger and push down in the middle of that curve, you'll feel how easy it is to push the horses back down. And if you sit a rider in the middle of that curve, then their back sags really easily. It sags even more, and that's when it hurts our horses to ride. And in the long term, the damage that it can cause to their spines is, you know, quite sad. So, bend the ruler up in the other direction, so it's a bit more like a frowny face, and the curve in the middle is higher than the ends. And you'll feel that it takes a bit more effort to bend it in the other direction. Now get one finger, slide one finger up and push down on the curve a bit where the rider would be sitting. And wow, there's a whole different feel there now, isn't there? There's a strength there that is completely different from the curve in the other direction. It's much harder to push it down. In fact, you know, you can flex it, but you can't actually push it down. That is the shape of a horse in self-carriage. Their back is lifted up in this kind of curve and in this kind of strength, and the rider sits on the top of that curve. I mean, it's a simple little demonstration, but it's really vivid. You know, that saggy back just, wow. It's a shocking thing to see a horse riding like that. And the worst of it is, I look at all kind of levels of riding, from beginners to Grand Prix riders riding horses with saggy backs. I don't quite understand how we can get Grand Prix riders riding with saggy backs, but that's a fact of life. And it's so easy to change, which is what I find so exciting. So,
do you mind if I jump in then, Jenny, from time to time?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you want to talk on your own call?
Well, as mine host, I thought I should.
Sorry.
So, you know, I mean, that is a good question. Why these top-level riders do not, you know, have their horses in self-carriage? Because it's, I mean, and I guess it goes back to the same story is the sort of hyperflexion where they're really pulling the horse's head back. They just don't know any better, or they forget, or did they know in the first place? I mean, what's the reason behind it?
Oh, that's such a curly question. I think that everyone has a picture of what they want their horse to look at in their mind. And oh, that is such a hard question to talk to someone else's motivations.
Okay, well, don't worry about it too much. If it was a quick answer, then that's fine. But obviously, it does exist. So let's see how we can then just go about trying to fix it for the people listening to the call. I mean, that's the main thing.
Yeah. The thing is that any kind of force stops it from happening. You can't make a horse go into self-carriage. You can't even keep a horse in self-carriage. You can't, you know, if you have to keep on asking over and over again for a horse to reposition their body and come up into self-carriage, then it's not self-carriage. It's the rider actually holding the horse into position. And that's where they actually make the mistake. Yeah. So, I mean, we all know hyperflexion, roll curve, whatever, low, deep and round, whatever you want to call it, is done by force. And you can't have that kind of force and have self-carriage. It's an impossibility, an absolute and complete impossibility.
So what you're saying is hyperflexion actually makes this whole lack of self-carriage even worse then?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess it's because of the natural shape and bend of the, the shape of the spine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what are the first steps? Are you going to take us through the lessons with our chair?
Well, not quite yet. I'll get close to that. There's two factors for those of us who are drawn to ride to have our horses in self-carriage. And the first and most important one is that the horse themselves is in their comfort zone. Now, that sounds very simplistic because it is. I have actually seen horses with damaged backs healing in front of our eyes while they were being ridden. Now, I know there's people going to be listening to this who shake their head and say that's an impossibility. And I'm going to tell you that I haven't even seen an exception to that rule yet. I'm sure there's one out there. But so far, every single horse I've seen worked for their comfort zone in every aspect of their routine with their rider from the minute they, they're sleeping at night and the minute the rider goes to get them in the morning. When people work with their horse like that, then their back can actually heal, and it heals. The initial healing, the start of it, happens so fast you can actually watch it happening with the naked eye. So, and so far I've seen every single horse I've ever watched with a damaged back has had dramatic improvements really fast. That's pretty exciting stuff. That's pretty exciting stuff for all those sore horses out there in the world. Now, how to do that? There's a free lesson on the seventh key to happiness in the six keys to happiness with your horse. I always laugh at that. I'm a chronic over-deliverer. So there's actually eight keys to happiness, but I call them six. I came across two extra ones as I was writing them, and I still call them the six keys to happiness. So I smile at my chronic need to over-deliver on what I say, even on the free stuff. So the seventh key to happiness actually describes a very simple technique that is capable of profound change in a horse's mind, body and spirit. And that's the technique that I've used to watch horses healing almost while we watched, well, some of them actually while we watched, you can watch their bones starting to slide back into place. So, so that's a horse side, and that's absolutely and completely critical. The other side is us being in our version of self-carriage has a dramatic influence on the horse, and that's the part that I can actually give everybody a bit of a lesson on tonight.
Excellent.
So, have we figured out how we were going to pick who was going to get the free lesson?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to see, I'm going to go to Q&A mode, and then what I'd like people to do is to stick their hands up, because we could be here all night if someone's not actually ready and prepared to do it. So here's what you need to do if you want to have your lesson for your free lesson, because we did say that one person on the call would have their free lesson with Jenny now. And if you don't get done, what Jenny said she would do would actually after the call is finish off, but at least you'll be able to get started, because obviously she's not going to know where you are, not having probably met you before. So we'll get started now, and what we will go across, what Jenny will cover, will be obviously very instructive for everyone. Okay, yes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch to Q&A mode. All right, so if you're listening by telephone, you just press *6 on your telephone keypad. It's as easy as that. *6, or was it #6? Having said that. Now, if you're listening in online, you've got this little sort of meeting dashboard, not the radio. You need to be listening in with a little meeting dashboard, the app that was downloaded. And if you press that to the right of the dashboard, there's that little 9 squares. And if you then press *6 on that, so I press *6. Okay, it's unmuted me. So, and then you should get the option to put your hand up, and I can see some hands going up already. All right, so that's what you need to do. So let's just give another couple more minutes, because there's a couple of people putting their hands up. So let me just cover that again. So if you're listening in by telephone, then what you need to do is you need to press *6 on your telephone keypad. Let me just double check that. Oops. Yep, so *6 on your telephone keypad. And if you are listening in online, then you press the little sort of 9 squares you see, the little dial pad. If you hover over it, it says dial pad. Press *6 and then you follow the instructions. I think you have to press 1 or 2 or something. Okay. All right, so we've got some volunteers. We have got some volunteers. And what I'd like you to do, Jenny, is I'd like you to pick a number between 1 and 10. Oh, Jenny's not there. Hang on. Jenny, you're back. Sorry, I forgot. Q&A mutes everyone, including you. All right, so pick a number between 1 and 10.
9.
Okay, let me have a look. So 9 is Megan. So, Megan, if you're there, I'm going to unmute you. And hopefully you've got a headset on and you can speak with Jenny. So hang on. So, Megan, you're live.
Yes, I have my headset on. Can you guys hear me?
Perfectly clearly. It's marvelous.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And it's Megan with a long E.
Oh, sorry, Megan.
That's okay.
Right, so I'm going to leave you two to it. In fact, I will mute myself out just to stop my squeaky chair, which I still haven't fixed. Okay.
G'day, Megan.
Hi, I'm ready when you are.
Ah, lovely. Let's just give you a bit of background before we start. That'll kind of give us both a chance to relax. When one of the things that's really important about what we're about to do is that we're going to foster a deep awareness of your own body and your own emotions, your energy, and everything around it. Because when I'm working with a rider, whether it's on my online lessons or live like this, I'm working on what's behind the problem rather than working on the problem itself. So, for example, if someone's a bit wobbly in the saddle, we work on releasing whatever's behind that so that the wobble just vanishes and your seat stabilizes and you feel like you're part of your horse when you've taken off all the layers. And there could be more than one layer. You know, I'm 58 years old at the moment and overweight, and the most unathletic I've ever been in my whole life. And I can still find this place on a horse where his and my heart just both sing together, which mm-hmm. is very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you've got that kitchen kind of chair that we were talking about?
Yes.
Excellent. So face the back of it.
Okay.
Oh, you already are?
I'm prepared.
Oh, this girl, this girl's rocking. She knew she was going to be having a lesson tonight.
I'm an overachiever, so my chair is ready. We've dealt with our spookiness, and I'm good to go.
Okay, Megan rocks. Megan rocks. For goodness sake, pronounce the poor girl's name right. Okay, so let me just, what I do with people when I'm working with a person is exactly what I teach people to do with their horse. I'm feeling into you to feel what's actually happening.
Okay.
So, let's do this for everyone. Your back's not too bad, but I'm going to do this for everyone so that everyone can kind of feel this. What I want you to do is sit on the back, sit facing the back of your chair for everyone else who's not an overachiever and already ready. And bring your hands up and hold the back of the chair in about rein height. What you would do is rein height. Now, everything I suggest to you, do really, really, really slowly. And if I was watching you, it would be so slow that I couldn't see you move. So really, really slowly arch your back a little bit. And then take it in the other direction, which is sliding your tailbone a little closer to the ground. Okay, I'm going to just take everybody into another space before we go any further. Take a deep breath in and out, and notice which part of your nose or mouth you're breathing with. Notice the part where the air is touching you first.
Oh, funny. I just started to notice that I was feeling crooked.
Oh, interesting. Inner awareness. This is the big deal about as you start feeling into yourself with inner awareness, start listening inside, as I call it, you become aware of things like that. So for everyone else's benefit, I'm going to still take you through the heartbeat and feeling energy, because different people experience this differently. And in the meantime, Megan, you make soft eyes at that crookedness. Don't try and fix it, is my
okay.
point. Because when we fix something, when we just fix something, then we're going to have to come back and fix it next time, and the time after that, and the time after that, and the time after that. And eventually you'll find a place where you won't be crooked anymore. But what I do that is so freaking amazing, this discovery that I've made, is that if we clean up what's behind that crookedness, then you'll never have to go back there again.
Okay.
You'll just ride straight from now on. And that's just freaking awesome. Okay, so for everybody else, because I want everybody to find this place of inner awareness that Megan leapt into as an overachiever.
I can't help it.
Very well done, Megan. do you meditate or do yoga or anything like that?
Close to meditating, yeah.
That would be why you've gone into it so easily. Yeah.
Right. As soon as you said, you know, look at it with soft eyes, I felt things starting to shift, but you were speaking to everyone else, so I thought I'll just let things shift and you can speak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll just take everybody else into this place of inner awareness. Okay, so everybody else is breathing and noticing where the air is touching their nose or mouth as they breathe. And then you can notice what parts of your body are moving as you're breathing. And you can notice any excitement that you're feeling as you're breathing, or notice any feelings that you're feeling as you're breathing. You can notice the movement of your body, the movement of your chest. And this will actually be good for you too, Megan, to mm-hmm. feel into your back. Because are you actually feeling quite excited?
Yeah, I love to learn. So anytime I get new perspective, I really enjoy that.
Oh, very cool. Because I can feel great excitement in someone. And since it's actually you that I'm working with, I'm assuming that it's you that I'm feeling. So if you take a nice big deep breath into your back and notice what parts of your back are moving as you're breathing. And for some people, you will enjoy and feel better inside yourself if you can notice your heart beating. So just feel for your heart beating now. And if you can't quite feel it, then just imagine that you can. In all this work of being a better rider, single biggest reason for stuffing it up. So, you know, soften your eyes, smile a little, and just allow whatever happens to happen, because our job is going to be to get rid of what's behind the problem. We're not going to try and fix. We're not going to try and correct the problem. Okay, now for others, feeling the energy in your body, the ebb and flow of energy in your body, feel any prickles on your skin, feel any sensations in your legs. Just notice what your body feels like. And the reason we've covered emotional feel, like feeling excitement and breathing and heartbeat and the movement of energy in your body, is that everyone's different and no particular way of experiencing what you're about to experience is better for one sort of person than another. These are all our natural talents are absolutely valid and powerful in achieving what we want to achieve, both with our horse and ourselves. That's a big statement, everybody, because we tend to look around at other people who are, for example, very physical, physically grounded people, strong in physical feel, and all the great riders of the world are strong, I would imagine, are strong in physical feel. And we look at that and we yearn for that physical connection with a horse, and what we don't realize is that our own innate gifts and talents are actually just as perfect to achieve what we want. That's pretty exciting news for most people.
Yeah, it's hard to give ourselves credit for where our own strengths are.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that, as I was saying with earlier, we're trying too hard is the single biggest reason for stuffing it up. I don't think there's any reason bigger than that, than trying too hard, except maybe not giving a damn. and that doesn't cover anybody around here. Okay. So you'll all notice that you're in a slightly different place now, that as you're feeling inside yourself, that you're starting to notice, like Megan did straight away, you're starting to notice things around your body that feel good and don't feel good. So now in this space of inner awareness, ever so slowly, oh gosh, I wonder if I can turn that off. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't hear you very well. That's a shame. Oh, I know what I'll do.
I can lean forward. I was sitting back.
No, it's okay. I'm just turning off my email program so it can't beep at me as emails come in. Okay. So in this place of inner awareness, if everybody would ever so slowly arch their back a little bit and feel what that feels like. Really slowly allows the message to come back to your brain. Whoa, can you start feeling yourself actually feeling almost ill, Megan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had this sort of, I guess you would say, inner metronome kind of going on as we started. And then as I arched my back and leaned back, it was like, that's the wrong spot to be.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that exciting to feel how clearly you can feel the wrong spot?
Mm-hmm.
Now, your clarity, Megan, is happening because you're strongly in inner awareness. So for anybody who's not feeling that clarity yet, just exaggerate the arch of the back a bit more, and the more practice you get at inner awareness, at listening inside yourself, at feeling for the inside of yourself, the easier this gets. This is definitely a practice thing. On one of our courses, we've got, 25 lessons actually developing this further and further and further. So, now, ever so slowly, start sliding your tailbone closer to the ground, flattening your back out in the opposite direction to an arch. And again, really, really slowly. And take it too far. Keep flexing your pelvis down further and further and further. You'll feel yourself collapsing over your chest, over your diaphragm. And feel what that feels like.
So the interesting thing for me is that it's probably not even a matter of a total of maybe 2 inches forward and backward, and I can feel the instability set in. So backwards, it feels like, the horse would move and you could easily get out of rhythm. Forward, the same kind of thing, except there's a heaviness to the forward. Whereas the leaning backwards feels really unstable.
Yeah, the heaviness in the forwards is actually really, really hard for your horse to handle. That's actually the fetal position. And I've got a whole different take from everybody else on the fetal position. I've actually discovered how you can have a fetal position productively. Mm-hmm. because of my work as a healer, I have this very strong grounding in everything happens for a reason. And it's when we don't understand why something is happening that that good things turn into, you know, can look as if they're actually bad things, and they're not really. And the fetal position is actually one of them. When we bend over in the fetal position, we're actually shortening the psoas muscle, which is the big sheet of a big sheet of muscle in your back that attaches to your lower spine in several places, and attaches to your legs. And it's a very unusual muscle because it has two actions to it. It's the one that's enabling you to flex your pelvis, like we just did with the arch back, and flattening your back out and sliding your tailbone down. Mm-hmm. It's the one that's enabling us to do that. It's also the one that enables us to lift up our legs. So if, as you're all sitting on the chair there, just pick your thigh up and you will have some influence of the psoas muscle in actually doing that. So when riders are riding too long in the stirrup, when you run out of flex in your back, you know, for those of us who are older and stiffer and, I don't know, had children, and, you know, there's a million reasons for us not having full flexion of our pelvis, then we just need to ride shorter to be in a good riding position. So that's a bit of really important information for people to tuck away next time you get back on your horse. So if you can't find a really good pelvic flexion on your horse, then just shorten your stirrups. And if you think, take this back to the fetal position, we want to, the fetal position has us leaning forward and our legs coming up. And which, that's okay.
I was going to say bareback, that's not an exaggerated fetal position, but sometimes lifting the legs up a little bit and allowing your torso to curve a little bit reduces the concussion in your body.
Because it gives you more... Wow, you are a seriously good student, Megan. It gives you more shock absorption. Because you think of the angles of the body. You think of the angle of the upper body and then the angle of the thigh and then the angle down to the lower leg. And there's this, you know, there's this lovely shock absorption happening in those angles. So, yeah, that's exactly right.
And yet that's kind of the opposite of the classic training, which is to be very erect and long and... But for me personally, that shape doesn't feel comfortable.
When you release your pelvis, the more and more you can release your pelvis, the more you can ride in that classical position. But this is an example of copying other people being very not useful.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be feeling into what gives our body strength. You know that ruler thing I did with the horse? When we're in the right position, we feel that strong and so beautiful and flexible, and all our joints are just sliding around the horse. It is so bloody exciting. And, you know, how to convey how exciting it is at 58 years old and overweight and the most unathletic I've been in my life, and I can still find it.
Yeah, and when you do have that moment, you know, with your horse where everything's perfect, it's so effortless. You know, you just you can't even imagine that it could be difficult when you hit that perfect moment.
Yeah, and making it more than a perfect moment, but a perfect ride. That's so bloody exciting too.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks ago, I had six of those in a row, six rides in a row, where every moment was just singing. It was just awesome, mm-hmm. just awesome. And I think what I'm so excited about is being able to tell people that it doesn't matter what shape or size we are or what, you know, ability we're riding at. You know, we can all find that with our horse. And, you know, when our horse's back's elevated and we're in this position, then that feeling is just, wow, it's just poetry, just absolute poetry. So, okay. So for you, Megan, we're going to focus on you for a while now.
Okay.
I'm presuming that everybody else has, sorry, let me not assume anything. What I would like everybody else to do is to very slowly flex your pelvis backwards and forwards by arching your back a little and taking your tailbone closer to the ground. And find a place that feels really, really good. So Megan, as you were doing that, it felt to me like you actually sank deeper into the chair. Is that right?
I did, but as I was rocking, I also felt this nausea, I guess, when I got away from where I needed to be.
That is absolutely perfect. because we want a really strong body signal that tells you when you're in the right place and when you're not.
Yeah, and that nausea was pronounced. It was like, oh, go away from that position.
Yeah. Yep. Now, for those of you who aren't getting such a strong sensation from your body yet, chill out, you will do, because the more you practice it, the clearer the message gets. Okay, so now, Megan, feel inside the rest of your body and feel that slight unevenness that's still there. It's the fact that you've just been sitting there doing what I call licking and chewing on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking and you've just been sitting. You became aware of it, and while we've been talking, it actually got less, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's far less than it was. When the call first started, I noticed I was sitting a little heavier on my right seat bone.
Yep.
And now it's much more balanced.
Yep. Okay, so what I want you to do is make soft eyes at that unevenness. Now, what I mean by soft eyes is our bodies are the most amazing things. You know, our horses' bodies are amazing too, but we're focusing on ours at the moment. Our bodies will give us feedback and messages really clearly when we're in a space to listen to them. And in this space of inner awareness and listening inside that we're talking about, that's an opportunity to actually have feedback between our bodies and our brains and our conscious minds. So what I'm trying to say is the message of this unevenness, where you're feeling this unevenness in your body, this unevenness in your seat bones, the message that your body is giving you is perfect. So clearly for your horse, those uneven seat bones are going to cause your horse a problem.
Yes.
He's going to have to carry himself differently. He's going to have to build up more muscles on one side than the other. It's going to have all kinds of effect on him. So clearly the actual unevenness itself sucks. But the message that it's bringing you is the most wonderful, perfect message.
Yeah, it feels like I need to open up my rib cage a little bit more on my right side.
Okay. So I don't want you to actually do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
What I want you to do is make those soft eyes at the rib cage. So your attention's come now to your rib cage. So make soft eyes at that and smile a little. It's the same. When I say soft eyes, it's the same kind of eyes that you would look at a kitten playing, or, you know, a little foal kicking its heels up or sleeping in the sun. You know, your newborn baby in your arms. They're just perfect. You know, your heart kind of you know, you smile and your eyes go all gooey and soft. That's soft eyes. So the same perfection, the same softness, the same perfection as you're looking at that thing in your rib cage. And again, you're not trying to fix it. You just want to understand what it's about.
Well, the visual I get makes no sense to me, but I'm assuming it'll make sense later. I'm seeing a crescent wrench.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent. So make soft eyes at the crescent wrench and decide that you want to understand a little bit more about that.